We're going to do a part two in Daniel chapter 6. So if you would turn in your Bibles there to Daniel chapter 6. Last time we talked about, from this particular passage of Scripture, this thought. Christian, keep your standards high. Your unsaved friends are depending upon you. And we took time to go through that lesson. And I'm back in Daniel chapter 6 because there's some other thoughts that I have kind of just gleaned from my own personal study, and I would like to share those with you tonight. I want to read Daniel chapter 6, verse 10 alone tonight, as we consider this thought. Daniel, all we're asking is that you temporarily stop praying to your God. No big deal. All right, I want you to think about that for just a moment. That's kind of what they were saying to Daniel. Daniel, all we're asking is that you temporarily stop praying to your God. It's no big deal. But was it a big deal? It absolutely was a big deal. It was a huge deal. But understand something about Satan. Satan always casts spiritual change, doctrinal change, truth change, always couches it in a no big deal category. We're just asking for a temporary reprieve from your prayer time. Only 30 days. Notice Daniel, verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your precious word. Lord, from this historical account, we learn so much about what it means to stand up for thee and to stand against those that would do evil. Lord, I pray we might take to heart some of the truths that we want to share tonight from this passage of Scripture. And I pray that you'd open our eyes, especially of our young people. We're living in a day and time where sin is exalted to a point that it's just unbelievable. And it's become normal in our society to do wrong, to do evil. I pray that you would help our young people to know how important it is to do what's right. For we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Daniel, we learned a few weeks ago, was faced with a crisis. And it was a crisis not of his own doing. The temptation created for Daniel by others was not to the committing of some act of idolatry or some horrible sin. What did they ask him to do? They asked him rather to temporarily neglect his prayer time. How do we know it was temporary? How long was the decree for? 1 month, 30 days. That's it. Just for 1 month, Daniel. You don't pray to your God. You just voluntarily not pray to your God. Now, that wasn't really voluntary, was it? We got a decree that if you violate, you're going to die. Does that sound like something voluntary? That sounds like that's impressed upon the individuals. You do this or you die, but we want you to volunteer. All right? Now, this whole idea of the temptation to neglect temporarily the things of God is fired upon Christians all the time in this world. We're not asking you to give up a lot. You know, we're not asking you to do anything, you know, major. We just want you to, for 30 days. You can do it for 30 days. You know, they'll sit there and browbeat you with that kind of mentality. But Daniel, when he heard that the decree was signed, he was in the high ranking. He knew what had happened. He went back to his room. He went to the window that he always prayed before, which was pointed at Jerusalem. And the Bible says he prayed, he worshiped, and he gave thanks unto his God as he had done aforetime. Nothing had changed. As I meditated on this verse of Scripture, there were some thoughts that came to my mind that I want to share with you tonight that I hope will be a help and a blessing to you. And I pray that there will be things that we can we can learn from, that we can keep in our thought life. I want you to see, number one, the first lesson that comes to my mind is not original with me, but it was through some reading that I did some years ago, and I wrote down this quote, and I've kept it in my Bible, and it's a good quote because it's helpful to me in relationship to what Daniel did, why he did what he did, and not compromising just for a temporary period of time. 30 days. Now think about this. If he had just done what they wanted for 30 days, this whole thing would have gone away, right? His trouble would have gone away. No, it wouldn't have. The fact that he did not compromise was not going to change the outcome of what they were wanting to do to him. Now keep that in mind. This is very important, understanding this passage of Scripture and applying it appropriately to our lives. Dr. G. Campbell Morgan once said this, "The occasional is always affected by the habitual." Now let me say that again. The occasional is always affected by the habitual. What is the habit of your life? Well, we know what the habit of Daniel's life was. Three times a day, he prayed to his God the request of his heart, and he thanked his God for all that he was doing. That was the habit of his life. And so when the occasional comes along, the habitual took over and kept doing what it was supposed to be doing. That's why it's so important, folks, that you have good habits. Let me tell you how it affects you. If you're at work dreaming about vacation all the time, is that going to affect your habitual? Yeah, it's going to affect your habitual. I was talking to a gentleman, we got to talking, and he said, "You know any kids looking for work?" And I said, "Well, if I give you the names of my workers, then they'll go work for you and they won't work for us. And I need all the help I can get." He said, "You know what?" He said, "I am just sick and tired of these millennials." He said, I just don't understand them." He said, they want a job, but that's the only thing they want. They want a job so they can go talk about with their friend, "Hey, I got a job." But he said, to show up at the job is like impossible for them. And we were talking about what has led to this particular thing. These are the same kids that grew up without any chores. These are the same kids that grew up without any consequences for not doing any chores, not cleaning their room, not helping out with the things that needed to be done at house, no mowing of the lawn, no anything. They just exist at home. They go to their rooms, they play on their electronics, and that's life for them. Then when the real world hits and they got to get a job, they do their job like they did at home. They're not doing anything different. And he said, "You know, it's sad because these are the kids that are going to be the dads and the moms of the next generation. What are those kids going to be like?" And I said, "Amen, brother." I said, "I can't even imagine what those kids are going to be like. I can't imagine that. To have such a slothful attitude about life, this carefree." And so their habitual dominates their occasional. Their occasional is the job. Their habitual is doing nothing. All right? You see how it affects? The habitual affects the occasional. Or the occasional will be dominated by the habitual. Now, what kind of habits did Daniel have? Are you listening to this passage of Scripture? He had a habit that was studied by his enemies. Now, they may have said, "Daniel, all we're asking you is a temporary reprieve from praying for 30 days. No big deal." But with Daniel, it was a huge deal because he loved his God and he loved the time that he spent with his God and he wanted to be with his God. And so when they came up with a law That meant execution if you violated it. There was no question about what Daniel was going to do. Now, in our generation, all kinds of questions pop up. It's not worth dying for. It's not worth dying for. I mean, my goodness, if I have to die for that, I'm not going to pray. Well, now, what does that tell us about your faith? What does that tell us about your love for God? It tells us a lot. It tells us a lot. And this is where we're at today. We're living in a world that's dominated by shallow thinking, not biblical thinking. So, the habitual in Daniel's life took over when the occasional came down. In other words, a law that came down from the government saying you could only request, not from your God, but from the king. And Daniel went with what his habit was. And we look back 3,000 something plus years and we say, praise the Lord for Daniel. Praise the Lord for Daniel. Number two, temptation always calls us to neglect that which is important. This is such a very simple thought, but it is a profound thought. Temptation always calls us to neglect that which is important. The temptation of sitting down in front of a television and spending your whole life in front of it. All right? Well, every time we're in the house, the TV's on. You realize that's what you do when you're in front of the TV? Yeah? Googly-eyed. Okay? Somebody can walk by you. My wife will get on to me for this. Sometimes she'll be asking me a question or what. I'm like, I don't want to miss anything. You know? I don't want to miss anything. What happens is we get drawn into that world. And you know what happens? Brain shuts off. Okay? Thinking shuts down. Now here's an important lesson here. Temptation comes along in our lives. And it always calls us to neglect something. The temptation to cheat on your wife causes us to neglect our marriage vows. Go down the list of all the temptations that come. Maybe it's you've gone on a diet. All right? You've gone on a diet. Temptation comes along. And what is it causing you to do? To neglect what? Your diet. Yeah. Yeah. And how quickly we give into that, you know? An ice cream commercial comes on. Yeah, here we go again. And all we're thinking, ice cream, ice cream, ice cream, ice cream, ice cream. And the next thing you know, you're standing in front of the freezer. Looking in there, you know. Oh, honey, where's the ice cream? Well, I had it. Remember, we're on a diet. Yeah. Well, I just have a hankering. I love this. I just have a hankering for ice cream. Well, that's why we're on the diet. Because you got a hankering for ice cream. What happens? The temptation comes along and causes you to neglect something important. Every time, never does temptation cause you to neglect something that's not important. It's always important. Because that's the nature of temptation. That's the nature of temptation. And we need to wise up, Christians. We really do. Because we give in to temptations far too often. Especially in our spiritual life. What's the definition of neglect? Notice that under number two. Neglect is forbearance to do anything that can be done or that is required to be done. I haven't done my taxes yet. I know it's kind of hanging over me like a guillotine. All right? I got to get busy. I told my wife, this coming weekend, I'm going to get our taxes done. All right? I got to get it done. Because April the 15th is going to come whether I like it to come or not. I can go to my calendar, scratch it out. We're not going to have a 15th of April. But guess what? It's still coming. Just because I X'd it out doesn't mean it's not going to come. I've got a responsibility. I need to do it. So, neglect is forbearance to do anything that can be done or that is required to be done. Neglect may occur through carelessness or intention. Neglect is omission of attention or civilities or habitual lack of regard to matters of importance. It's the state of being disregarded. Just disregarding it. Put that off. I can do that later. I don't have to worry about it. That's neglect. We saw a car, the boys and I were driving on Saturday. We saw a car, a nice Mustang, off the road. Maybe it was with you and I. It had the whole front axle was off, broken off. That was on our trip. And saw that, and there was this expensive car. And you know what? It was neglect. Don't tell me that there wasn't squeaking bearings and all that kind of stuff that was going on before that wheel fell off the front. It was neglect of what needed to be done. I remember my mom babysat for years for a lady who owned a business here in Milton. And she had a fancy, it was a Datsun back in those days, a Nissan. And it was a sports car. And 50,000 miles on it, the motor seized up. And she had it towed to a shop to get worked on. And they said, "Ma'am, we pulled the pan on your motor, and it was nothing but tar. Have you ever changed the oil in this vehicle?" And her answer was, "I didn't know you were supposed to." You didn't know you were supposed to? Well, ma'am, now you're going to be spending $3,000 for a brand new motor because this motor is gone. You have to change the oil. Now, what do we call that? Neglect. Well, it had oil in it. Yeah, but you know what happens to oil over time? It breaks down because of neglect. You got to change it. Got to put a new filter on there. Well, Christian, the same thing's true of your spiritual life. I'm saved now. Glory. And we neglect our time in God's Word. And you think things are going to go well in your spiritual life? It's not. It's not. You're not feeding. You're not drinking at the fountain. Temptation always calls us to neglect that which is important. Number three, sinning, even when temporary, is nonetheless sin and therefore condemned by God. Now you might say, well, that's obvious, but it's not obvious. It's not obvious today. And I want to tell you why. There is a strain of what is known as New Calvinism today that's become very, very popular. And the man who's popularized this thought that I'm going to share with you tonight is a pastor by the name of Tim Keller from New York City. He is pastor of Redeemer Presbyterian Church in New York City. He is also the founder of what group is known as the Gospel Coalition. Maybe you've heard of that before. But he's a new Calvinist, and he wrote a book called Every Good Endeavor. It was published in 2012, and it's become a very popular book in churches all across America. They're studying it during their Sunday school lessons and doing that. By the way, be careful of that. Be careful of that. Make sure you're studying the Bible. That's where you get fed. God never promised that He would bless a book, but He did promise that He would bless this book. All right? He promised He'd bless this book. And so we need to be careful about that. And this is what Tim Keller said in his book. All right? He says there are two views of sin. There is the thin view of sin and the thick view of sin. How many of you have heard that expression before? All right? The thin view of sin and the thick view of sin. The thin view of sin is what fundamentalists believe. All right? And this is what he says. You, that is traditional fundamentalists, pursue Christian spiritual growth largely by seeking environments where you are less likely to do sinful actions. This view of sin comports with a lack of understanding of the thoroughness and richness of Christ's gracious work for us. If we have a thin view of sin, we will feel safe if we remove from our view anything that would cause temptation to commit actions of overt sexual immorality, profanity, dishonesty, or violence. Now listen to what he's saying. What is he saying? He is saying that the Bible is wrong when it says, abstain from all appearance of evil. Or you stay out of those environments that cause you to commit sexual immorality and cause you to go into drinking or that. You know, you fundamentalists, you have this thin view of sin. No, it's called a Bible view of sin. Not only that, but the Bible says, be wise to that which is good and simple, stupid, concerning what? Evil, Romans chapter 16 tells us. Rather, Tim Keller believes that we are to engage the culture and not be afraid to, as he puts it, mix it up with our friends. Now, you know what he's saying by mix it up with our friends? He's saying it's permissible to sin. Because when we sin, we magnify the grace of God and its greatness to come, and eventually in the future, when we are standing before Him, His grace will be magnified beyond things because of the sin that it's overcome in our life. So we can sin, and it's perfectly fine to do so. Now, I was shocked that this is what is believed and promoted in New Calvinism today, but it is. He's written three other books since then, and he continues to promote this. He says he has what is known as the thick view of sin. His thick view of sin is simply this. We need to live out all of our, now get this, all of our human frailties and weaknesses so that other humans see us as real. They don't see fundamental Christians as real. They are fakes. But if we mix it up with our friends, and we go out there and we drink with them and we do the things that they do, they'll look at us and say, hey, there's a real person just like me. And then we can talk about God's grace. And they'll accept it. There's just one problem with that. The Bible has a great deal to say against that. Let me read to you some verses. Romans chapter 6, the first 7 verses. Listen to what the Apostle Paul said by a pen of inspiration. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And what's the answer? Tim Keller says it's yes. He says it's yes, but the Bible says God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? His thick view of sin is unbiblical. It's unbiblical. It's not right because God's Word makes it very clear. I could read on in that same passage. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? What does His death do? We are reckoned dead to sin. But through His resurrection, we are made alive unto Him. Alive unto Christ. What does Psalm 1 and verse 1 say? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. That's pretty clear. Blessed is the man. Tim Keller says, that's not a blessing. God's grace can't be magnified in that situation. James chapter 4 and verse 4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. James chapter 4 and verse 4. You can't get any clearer than that. But today, and by the way, that book that I told you about by Tim Keller, bestseller on CBD, Christian book distributors. Bestseller. People are buying it up. Well, that's great. I like that. And you know what they've done? put the Bible over here. Let's get out this other book. I like it a lot better. It tells me I can do what I want to do. Rejecting God's Word. Daniel said, I'm going to have none of it. I'm going to have none of that. We could go on. But let's go on to number 4. To ignore the clear commandments of God and temporarily neglect them is a dangerous business. It's a dangerous business. James chapter 4 and verse 17, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not. What's the rest of it? To him it is sin. That's condemned of God. I wish we had time tonight to go to 1 John chapter 3. We'll probably do that next time, Lord willing. That passage of Scripture, 1 John chapter 3, the first 15 verses are some of the greatest lessons that go directly against what Tim Keller teaches and believes and proclaims from his pulpit. It's in direct violation of God's Word. Now, folks, these leaders were trying to get Daniel. They wanted to destroy him. And they were going to get him no matter what he did. So Daniel opted to take the high road. Amen? He took the high road. I'm going to keep doing what I've always been doing. My habitual is going to overwhelm the occasional because it's the right thing to do. I love my God and I want to spend time with Him. Let me ask you something. Does God mean that much to you? That no matter what decree comes down from a government, no matter what you're told that you must do or you'll die, do you love your God more than all of that? Do you love your God more than your life here upon this earth? That question right there is being asked of Christians today in other countries. Do you love your God more than your own life? Someone posted on Facebook today talking about persecution of Christians, and it showed the acceptance of Muslims in our country, and then it showed them having the Coptic Christians all kneeling down on their knees in orange jumpsuits where they're fixing to be beheaded by Muslims. They're being asked a question. Do you love your God more than your life? And some people have had to pay with their life. Is your life more important than God? If it is, you need to go get on your knees tonight and you need to get things right with God. Something's wrong, seriously wrong. Daniel was not afraid. He was called upon just to temporarily neglect his faith. Just for 30 days. No big deal. But whenever temptation comes along, it always seeks to cause us to neglect what's important, what's most important. And we want to honor God with our lives. Well, let's take our prayer requests. We're going to divide up to our prayer groups. We've mentioned already Mrs. Bennett. She is in the hospital. She has preeclampsia and a very, very dangerous situation. They're monitoring her to make sure that she doesn't go into toxic shock, that she'll be able to deliver this baby. We just pray that the Lord would undertake. Also, we want to remember Kathy Woods. She went through her procedure today, and they did find a serious blockage in an area where they'd already put a stent in. Is that correct, Mr. Woods? You want to share more about that?
Why it clogged up so fast, we're concerned about. But I want to expand that this request. Kathy has a brother in Indianapolis. Today, in Indianapolis, now he's been bypassed. And that's the way to this issue.
conviction for both of them is that there have been three people in their family die before 55 from the same kind of problems. So I know that for Kathy and her brother Brian's parents, this is weighing heavy on them. Yeah. Well, I appreciate your prayer for Kathy. She's probably going to stay in tonight anyway and then go home in the morning. Her brother Brian, who faces quadruple bypass on Friday, and their elderly parents in northern Indiana.
That's Brian Weiss, W-E-I-S-S. Brian Weiss, so we'll remember him in prayer as well. Do we have any other prayer requests tonight? Yes. All right, let's do Remember Fran. Lord, undertake for her. Any update on your friend there at work on his condition with the neck cancer?
He's through with his treatments. He got through the treatments. What?
Mm-hmm. All right, so let's continue to pray for him. I did want to mention, I got a call today from the developer that's going to be developing these 40 acres of land adjacent to our property here, Mitchell Homes, and he wants to meet with our board next week to discuss what they're going to be doing and so forth like that, to share with us the plans and things of that nature. So would you pray for that meeting? It's scheduled tentatively right now for Tuesday evening at 6:30 p.m. here. And so pray that the Lord would help us to be able to. He wants input from our board. He said we want to be good neighbors, and so this could be a help to the school, could be a help to the ball program, putting the families close to the ministry here, and we want to look at it as an evangelism opportunity. And so pray that the Lord would undertake with this meeting that's scheduled for next week. All right, let's divide up into our prayer groups and remember these requests tonight. Don't forget to pray for those four sponsors, too.